The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
As always, I am very excited about this episode of Travel with Hawkeye. There's a show on the Travel Channel called Expedition Unknown, and Josh Gates is the host. And Josh, he's got a kind of a four-part special series where they're looking into extraterrestrials. And if you've ever watched this series, I mean, this isn't hokey. I mean, they really kind of investigates it. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of planets out there. There's a lot of stars, and there's a lot of planets rotating around those stars. And the chance that there could be extraterrestrial life out there, it's not outside the realm of possibility. And maybe we've already had contact. And that's what Josh is going to explore. So we'll talk about the Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown. And I got a few questions also I want to ask Josh about some of his past expeditions. That would be a dream job to do what he does. I love what he does. And then also on today's podcast, Melanie Fish from HomeAway.com will be with us. It's also an app. You can find HomeAway there. And it's a home rental service. As I mentioned on a few podcasts back, my wife and I, when we went to Rome, we rented an apartment for the first time rather than staying in a hotel. We just had a wonderful experience. And we're actually thinking about renting out a lake house. And I kind of want to ask a few questions about people who go on vacation, who renting apartments, things to look for, things to do before you rent an apartment, and those folks who have apartments or second homes, vacation homes, want to make a little money on the side. How would you go about doing that? We'll talk to Melanie in just a few minutes. But first of all, we've got Josh Gates on the line with us from the Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown. Josh, welcome to Travel with Hawkeye, the podcast.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing great. I'm so excited to have you on the phone with us this morning. Thank you very much for your time.
Thrilled to be here.
Let me ask you, first of all, are you wearing your hamburger earmuffs right now, or are those? Have you taken those off?
No, those are in a glass display case. I never touch. They're a priceless heirloom.
Google that. For folks who are listening at home, Google that. The hamburger earmuffs and Josh Gates from Expedition Unknown. I'm a fan. And before we get to what I find is very, very fascinating, the latest four episodes of Expedition Unknown, can I ask you a few questions about some of your past expeditions?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Has there been anyone that you've been on that you were just totally blown away with what you discovered?
A lot of them. You know, we go all over the world meeting with these really cool archaeologists and explorers and scientists, and some of these guys are just doing the coolest stuff. We have some episodes coming up this year. We're filming our fourth season now. We went down to Guatemala to work with these this really cool archaeologist who's working at these Mayan sites out in the jungles of Guatemala. And, I mean, this guy is finding pyramids and tombs and acropolises. And we helicoptered out to the jungle to meet this guy. And you touch down, and it's like another planet. Like, this guy is out there. And you see these huge mounds, like 20, 30 feet tall, these giant mounds. And you go, what is that? And he goes, oh, that's a pyramid. And you're like, wait, underneath that's a pyramid? He goes, yeah, there's a whole Mayan pyramid under there. And I go, well, why don't you, like, uncover it? And he goes, well, there's a lot of pyramids. That's a pyramid. That's a pyramid. And you realize you're standing in the middle of an abandoned city. So, yeah, things like that make my head explode.
Was this previously undiscovered before this guy found it?
He's one of the sort of pioneers of this area, but it's this part of Guatemala known as the El Mirador Basin. It's this huge kind of almost like fishbowl of jungle in northern Guatemala below the Yucatan. And it's filled with these Mayan city-states. In fact, the main pyramid in the center of it, called El Mirador, might be the largest pyramid in the world. It certainly, by volume, gives the pyramids in Egypt a run for their money. So it's a pretty incredible place that's still being discovered, you know. And that's, to me, the stuff on the show that blows my mind is that we kind of think of the world as, like, mapped and everything's known, and you realize there's so much out there that we're still uncovering.
You know, there was a gentleman who wrote a book. We had him on a previous podcast, William Carlson. He wrote a book about the two explorers, John Stevens and Frederick Catherwood, who found the Mayans, were the first ones really to discover the Mayans back at the turn of the century. And it wasn't even that long ago. I mean, it was like 100 years ago that we rediscovered the Mayans. So what you say is absolutely true. There's so much of the world that still needs to be discovered.
Absolutely. You know, we're doing a lot of cool stuff this year in lots of different arenas. We're doing a thing on the Vikings, a big 2-hour special on the Vikings. And there's so much about even Viking culture, which is not, you know, we're only talking about 1,000 years ago that the Vikings were on the scene, and there's still so much we don't know about them. They had some huge, or they had some settlement called Vinland, which we can see on their maps, and we don't really know where that is. It's probably somewhere in North America.
Yes.
It's been debated. Was it up in Canada? There are people who believe it was in what's now the United States. These are really, you know, these are questions that could change history as we know it, you know. There is a lot of really cool stuff out there to explore still.
There's been a lot of speculation for years. Yeah, that the Vikings may have discovered the United States, or not the United States, but North America, mm-hmm. the continent, well before Columbus. That's absolutely fascinating. You know, one person I'm fascinated with too is Amelia Earhart, and you guys did an episode on her. Do you think that they'll ever find the remains of her aircraft?
I'm in the camp that believes that her plane is at the bottom of the Pacific. I think that she. The most reasonable explanation is probably the true one, which is that she ran out of fuel trying to find the Howland Island and crashed. I think her plane could be found with great expense. I think that if you had the money and the resources to devote a research vessel to the Pacific and enough underwater autonomous subs and radar and sonar and all that good stuff, I think it could be found. The question is, will anyone really do that? You know, there's a lot of ocean out there to search. I mean, you look at the MH370 search for the missing Malaysian airliner. It's hard to find things in the deepest, darkest parts of the ocean. So I think it could be found. I don't know if it will, you know. And to some extent, that might be okay, too. I think one of the things about Earhart that's so fascinating is that we don't really think of her as dead. You know, we think of her as missing. And so I think that to some extent, the fact that she's kind of still out there somewhere is sort of poetic. And so I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever find her.
And your current special, or not a special, but the next four episodes, it is kind of a special event, is Expedition Unknown, Hunt for Extraterrestrials. And tell everybody where you'll be going on the different episodes.
So this is a huge special for us. We really wanted to go all around the world to tackle, I think, one of mankind's biggest questions, which is, are we alone in the universe? I don't think there's a person out there that hasn't at some point looked up at the stars and thought about this. And so we wanted to really span the globe and talk with all different types of people. We wanted to talk to folks on the scientific end of the spectrum. We met with astronomers, and we spoke with astronauts orbiting the Earth and the space station. We spoke with people that are doing these really cool experiments, sending balloons up to the edge of space to collect samples, all sorts of cool stuff. And we also wanted to meet with folks at the other end of the spectrum who claim to have had personal experiences, eyewitnesses, people who are true believers that alien life is not just out there, but that it has come here to Earth. So this was really at the core of the special, is to go all over the world to talk to all these different people and really see what's out there. And so this took us from the United States to Chile, to Easter Island. We went to Africa, went to Zimbabwe, went to England. So it's a really global expedition. And I have to say, there's some really cool evidence in the show, and some really cool interviews and cool segments. It's a really fun ride.
Okay. Can you give us a look, maybe just a taste of some of the evidence that you gathered? Just a taste of it. I don't want to spoil it for us, but something that you discovered.
Sure. Well, we certainly spent some time looking at really amazing videos. We went down to South America, where the Chilean government is grappling with a really strange video that they captured, that their Navy captured. We spent some time looking at that video, doing an experiment to try to test out elements of that video. It's really, really weird footage. And, you know, to be able to get up close and personal with it was really amazing. We worked with a scientist in England who's doing these really interesting experiments trying to collect microbes from the edge of space. He basically has a theory that life on Earth started because essentially alien microbes kind of made their way across space and filtered down through our atmosphere and sort of seeded the planet. And there's some evidence that already there's some evidence that that might be true in meteorites that we find around the planet. There may be evidence of microbes in those as well. But we did an experiment with this guy where we sent one of his collection devices up to space, and you know, we found some really incredible stuff on these sample trays. So there's some really cool stuff happening right now. And I think the best, most conclusive evidence that we found was in talking to people that are operating these really incredibly high-tech deep space telescopes that are finding, you know, exoplanets, that are finding planets in other parts of the universe that have the conditions for life. So there's some incredible stuff happening right now where we're finding planets that could really support life as we know it.
Well, when you think about every star, I mean, every star is a sun, and most of them most likely have planets that orbit them. The chances of there being another planet out there that can support life is pretty probable.
I mean, yeah, life can take on many forms.
Yes.
It can be bacterial. It can be goo, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be walking around
on two feet.
You know, on 2 feet. But these scientists are now really confident that there's probably life in the universe because they're finding these planets at an incredible rate now. And we went from 10, 20 years ago to thinking, you know, maybe not every star has planets around it, or maybe planets like Earth are incredibly rare. And now scientists are going, God, it seems like planets like Earth might be a lot more common than we thought.
Fascinating. Well, it's Expedition Unknown, Hunt for Extraterrestrials, a four-week special. Josh, really appreciate your time this morning. Fascinating discussion and continued success.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
If you've never seen Expedition Unknown on the Travel Channel, check it out. Just a great, great show, a lot of fun, and just travels all over the world to find out the answers to many mysteries that are around us. And by the way, let me just explain, too, when I asked about the hamburger earmuffs, if you Google that, you'll quickly find that a few years ago, Josh had ordered a T-shirt from Amazon.com. Instead of a T-shirt, they sent him hamburger earmuffs, and he decided instead of sending them back to just have a lot of fun with it and started tweeting pictures of himself traveling around town with these hamburger earmuffs on, and just made light of a strange situation. Like, why would you send back hamburger earmuffs? I mean, why don't we all have a pair? All right, let's move forward here. If you're a frequent listener of this podcast, you know that my wife and I went to Rome not too long ago. And instead of staying in a hotel this time, we actually rented an apartment, a private apartment. And there's a bunch of different services that you can do this through. And the experience was incredible. And we had such a great time that when we were flying back, we had a discussion like, are we ever even going to rent a hotel room again? I mean, why would we? We, you know, the apartment was so much better than the hotel room. And then we started thinking, you know, we've got a second home also. We've got a little vacation cabin on a lake. You know, maybe we can make some extra money renting that out. So we kind of want to investigate that and some of the different services that provide a chance for you to rent out property or maybe rent property. So I asked Melanie Fish on the podcast today. Melanie Fish is with Home Away. And Melanie, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And you work with HomeAway, and there's a plethora of services that do this, but kind of explain what HomeAway does.
Well, HomeAway is kind of the OG of the vacation rental business. We're the world leader in vacation rentals, and there are more than 2 million unique places to stay in 190 countries on the site. One of our sister sites is VRBO.com that you might be familiar with.
Yes.
And what we are is a place for homeowners and property managers to list their properties for rent to travelers.
Okay. Now, if someone were to do that, because I actually have a lake house that I don't use that much, and kind of thinking about doing that myself or renting that out, what are some things you need to do, first of all, before if you have a property and then you're thinking about renting it out? Like, do you need insurance? Are there certain things you need to get your home or your vacation property ready before you rent it out? And how much time is there? Well, I'll ask the third question after you answer the first two.
Well, actually, your lake house scenario is the perfect scenario because what we have on the site is mostly second homes and vacation homes that people are offering up for other travelers to use, and they're whole homes, the whole space, and they're usually intended to be vacation rentals, so there's no one else's clothes in the closet or food in the refrigerator or anything like that. And yes, you're absolutely right that if you're a homeowner interested in booking your property to other people, you need to make sure you have the right insurance in place and do a little bit of research. And then decide where the best place to put it up for rent is. On HomeAway.com, there's a flat $399 a year membership, or you can work it out so there that you're just paying a portion of the rental income each time you rent it out and you don't pay the subscription fee. The things you need to do as a homeowner to get your property ready are to make sure you have really nice photos. I think that's the best way to show up high in the searches when people are looking for a place to stay. And then you need to familiarize yourself with the platform that homeowners have access to when they're putting their houses up for rent. And it's pretty user-friendly, but you just need to get in the rhythm of responding quickly when people ask you a question about your property or request to book it.
So you should really take care of this as a side business, almost, to be prompt, getting back to people and so forth.
You can, because the faster you respond to people and the more accommodating you are, the better pictures you are, the better reviews you have, the higher your property appears when people are searching. And I actually recently met a homeowner who was very proud of their response time being under 10 minutes, and they managed their property from their phone, from the HomeAway app. But about half of the homeowners who list their properties on HomeAway.com choose to do it through property managers. So if you just don't have the time and don't want to do that, there are professionals out there who can help you with it.
Oh, okay. So that's a fantastic suggestion also. Yeah, when we went to Rome, Sylvia met us there at the house, and she had just got done cleaning it, and she had stocked it with food. So she got a very high rating from us. And she also gave us some tips and maps. She had guidebooks there for us. So she was so accommodating. I mean, of course, you know, and really, you really want a high rating from the people who rent from you. That's really your lifeblood there, isn't it?
Absolutely. Those reviews are so key. And they're really key for the traveler, too, when you're trying to find the details about the place you're staying. Are the pictures representative of what you actually see when you get there? What other little extras are the homeowners offering, like the things you're describing? I'm so glad to hear you guys had a great experience on your first time staying in a vacation rental. You know, we find that time and time again in our customer surveys that once people have done it once, they're all about staying that way, and we'll come back time and time again. And part of the reason is just that experience of staying in a more home away from home setting. And a part of it is the value. We find that people get about twice the space at half the cost per person compared to a hotel room when they stay in a vacation rental.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because first of all, my wife and I were talking on the way back, like, are we ever going to stay in a hotel again? I mean, seriously, because the experience was so wonderful. The cost was one third of what it would have cost us to stay in a hotel. So that was
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah. And then the other thing, too, as I said, we just got back from Rome. We were in the middle of a neighborhood. And so we got to experience Rome as if we lived in Rome for a week. And there were nights that we decided, instead of going out to eat, let's go down to the market and buy, fresh food and come back and cook it and just feel like we live in the neighborhood. And that added to the whole experience so much.
That's funny that you said that. Going to a grocery store when I travel to another country is one of my favorite things to do. Now, I've made some mistakes. I bought sour cream thinking it was cream for my coffee one time. But still, it's just a great way to get to know the community where you're staying.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny because I met someone who lived in Rome for a few years, and he lived in that same neighborhood. When we got back, I was telling him about my experience. He goes, oh, that's the neighborhood I lived in. And it was so neat. It was like I said, my wife and I were seriously discussing if we're ever going to stay in a hotel again, because the experience was so amazing for us. We just had just a great experience. And I would love to go back and stay in the same apartment again if we go back to Rome. But let me ask, let's go on the other side. We talked about if you're going to rent out your home, a vacation home, and using HomeAway. But I kind of wanted to, one of the reasons, a little selfish here, because one of the vacations we're planning is a ski vacation later this year. And I read that you really, if you want to book a vacation rental for a ski resort, you really have to do so by the end of November. Is that pretty much true?
It is amazing how fast the ski homes get booked up. We have more than 45,000 ski vacation rentals on HomeAway.com, but we find that people start booking them early in the fall. As a matter of fact, bookings peak in the first week of fall. And by the end of November, 50% of the vacation rentals booked through the site are already reserved. And a good rule of thumb is the bigger they come, the faster they book. Large homes book at the briskest pace. 50% of homes with four or more bedrooms are already reserved by mid-October. And that's for the whole ski season. I'm talking about through March, through that spring skiing.
Wow. I would have thought it'd be the other way around. Like the smaller places, just, you know, the one bedrooms would book faster, but the larger home. Well, you know what? It's like you said, if you're going to book a large group of people, you know, you would save a considerable amount of money booking one large place instead of five or six hotel rooms.
You know, time and time again, I'm looking at these properties and doing the math, and especially with some of these larger properties, the cost per person per night is well under $50. And I think that's because not only are there some big homes with a lot of bedrooms, but these homeowners have configured their homes so they're perfect for groups or families. So they've got great bunk rooms for the kids. So maybe four kids are sleeping in that bedroom, but there's still plenty of space to spread out, and the adults all get their own bedrooms.
And sometimes there's multiple TVs, too. So if you're in a large group with a bunch of kids, you're not stuck watching the Disney Channel the whole time you're there.
That's right. And there are some homes that have movie theaters inside the homes. Some of the amenities that you can choose on HomeAway are whether or not you want a hot tub, which the answer is always yes when you're going skiing. Do you want a fireplace? You also need to book early if you want a ski-in, ski-out property, if that's what's most important to you, because obviously there are fewer of those, so you need to get those now.
And can I just add something as a tip from a guy who has a travel podcast? If you're with a large group of people, I highly recommend the ski-in, ski-out. It's a little bit more, but it usually is a little bit more because you're closer to the slopes. But here's the genius of the ski in, ski out. Just trying to get a large group of people, if you've all got to transport yourself to the ski lift every day, get everybody out at the same time, and then some people want to go home early. And if you're the guy that's coordinating the trip, you're going to end up being a bus driver. You're going to end up shuttling people back and forth. If you have ski in, ski out, and the kids only want to ski for an hour and a half, and they're cold, they want to go back in, no problem. If the older kids want to stay out till 4 o'clock, that's no problem because everybody can kind of do their own thing on the slopes and come back at their own pleasure.
That is a great tip. And you're right. You will probably pay a premium for having that ski in, ski out property. At the same time, if you have that ski in, ski out, you're more likely to zip in for your lunch instead of paying $25 for that hamburger on the mountain. So there's actually some savings, I think, in that ski in, ski out. And you bring up a good point about not wanting to be the shuttle driver for everyone on your ski trip. The property descriptions are so important because you can find out, is that walking distance to the gondola? Or I have a lot of the properties will say exactly how many feet to the closest shuttle stop is it? Or do you have to drive? And those are things to really look at. And you also can see exactly where on the map your property is, so you know how close you are to town.
Yeah, and that's a great thing, too, because if you're going on a ski vacation and you fly into some city, if you're so close, like if you're in a city like Park, if you go to somewhere like Park City, and they have an excellent free public transportation system, and if you're close enough to that, you don't really need to rent a car. You just need to get a shuttle to and from the airport, and that could be a considerable savings also.
Absolutely. And these are ski resorts, so they're used to transporting all your equipment and all that, so you don't necessarily need to rent the big SUV.
Yes, those are all things to consider. These are great tips. Do you have a couple favorite resorts that you got some great rentals at or that are great for families that you like to always kind of add in?
Well, ski resorts are hugely popular on VRBO.com and HomeAway.com. A lot of selection in Breckenridge. That's a very popular destination. I really like Steamboat for the family value vacation because we find the average cost of the vacation homes there is a little bit lower. So that's a good spot that I actually want to try. I haven't been there. I like Copper Mountain if you have beginners in the group because there are great vacation rentals there, but also I like it as a ski resort because the beginners ski on separate slopes, separate runs from the more experienced skiers. So I like that a lot. If you're a hardcore skier and you're maybe looking for a little bit more luxury stay, Vail and Aspen.
Yeah.
Very, very popular places. And then depending, you know, New Mexico is drivable. So there are some great places there as well.
Yeah, New Mexico is great, too. And Taos is a great town to stay in. And you're not that far. If you have your car, you're not that far from the ski valley also. So those are all great suggestions. Melanie, once again, I want to remind people, Home Away. And there's also an app also, as you said. So you can manage your account on your phone. That's always convenient, especially when you've already started your vacation. You don't have to travel with your laptop. So Melanie, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
I highly recommend you check out an apartment rental service, HomeAway, next time you travel. Just see if you like it. Just do it once and see if you like it. And if you don't, go back to the hotel, or it may change your life, may change your whole outlook on how you travel. A special thanks to Josh Gates, who was with us earlier from Expedition Unknown on the Travel Channel, and Melanie Fish from HomeAway. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. The world is out there. Your adventure awaits. This has been the Travel with Hawkeye podcast.